Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I am your host, Neil McCready. Russell Johnson is back in Mississippi. He's been back for a few days. It's not like he just got back. He's been back for a little while. It's our first time to reconvene for the podcast. We're taping this on, Wednesday? Wednesday afternoon. You'll hear this on Thursday. So happy March 1st to you as you hear this. Let me tell you a little bit first before we get into this podcast, a little bit about Billy's Pecans. Food Network has spoken. You should know this. Billy's Pecans Cinnamon Pecan Coffee Cake has been named the best cake in Mississippi by the Food Network. And to celebrate, Billy's Pecans is offering their cinnamon pecan and their blueberry pecan coffee cakes for just $25. Enter the promo code Food Network. That's Food Network at checkout. And then you can go to their website, billyspecans.com. They've got all sorts of other goodies. We tell you about it all the time, whether it's sweet or savory, whatever you're in the mood for. Great corporate gifts as well. billyspecans.com. You can send them questions at gifts@billyspecans.com. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's real simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just a great deal at Clark Ford, and then we'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about the podcast. That you heard about Clark Ford on this podcast or any of our other family of podcasts. I think we're up to about 12,406 now. Any of those, and it's a $500 discount on the already great deal that you get from Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. Russell, welcome back to Mississippi. I hope you brought a boat. It has not stopped raining the entire month. Maybe Mississippi was sad to see you leave because it rained the day you left, and it has rained virtually every day since.
It really has. Like you said, you need a boat and basically a continuous umbrella just to, as you walk around the city. Really miss the producers. You know, it's been a while. I've been here, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's been, you came the day after signing day, so that was like the 8th. So it's been almost 3 weeks.
I don't really remember that day. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, and you don't even drink. I mean, no. Imagine what it was like for people who did.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it was definitely a stressful signing day, and you know, it all ended up how it did, and now we're on to 2019.
Yeah, we've most certainly turned the page. You were in Mobile. It was your first trip to Mobile. Was that right?
Ever? Yeah, first trip ever.
All right, we'll start with the important stuff. How was Butch Cassidy's?
It was good. The burger was real good.
That burger's solid.
Yeah, I ate half of it and then ate half of it when I was crossing over the Mississippi state line.
That burger's solid. Would you get the French fries or did you get onion rings?
The French fries. I did. I Are thought about trying that. I normally am.
But I should have told you to get their onion rings.
They're good.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, they had all.
I'm kind of an onion. If I splurge, yeah, I'm an onion rings guy, and I love fries, but I love onion rings. Their wings are really good. I'm a big fan. We could get from our house in Mobile before we moved across the bay. We could get from our house in Mobile to Butch Cassidy's in about 3 minutes.
I was surprised they weren't busier than they were when I got there. I
mean, on a Sunday?
Yeah. They have this Sunday special where they do brunch from 11 to 3. So I kind of figured, you know, they would have the big post-church crowd, and it wasn't really that bad. I think I was probably the only person in there who was eating lunch instead of their brunch. So that was interesting. But in Mobile, I mean, there was quite a bit of talent. Obviously, you had like Daiwon Black and Byron Young. They didn't show up. But in return, you had Bryce Ramsey having a little bit of a coming out party, the offensive lineman from Harrison Central. You had Diamante Russell from Provine having a little bit of a coming out party, won defensive line MVP. You had Jonathan Mingo, the receiver from Brandon, had another bit of a coming out party, probably going to get his 4-star. Currently, his big offers are Auburn and Ole Miss, but shortly after, earlier this week, Arkansas offered. And then you've got Northwest Rankin, at least he's currently at Northwest Rankin. That's going to change in the next several weeks. Athlete Jerrion Jones kind of declared himself a safety in Mobile, which was good because, you know, as I wrote last week, part of the thing that was setting him apart from, you know, the Under Armour invites and the bigger offers was having a solidified position and, you know, the ability to tell a coach, hey, I can play this position at any time. And he did that on Sunday. I mean, he showed the explosiveness and the playmaking ability, ball skills, and man coverage, which was basically all that the Rivals camp is.
All right, let's get into some of the questions. It rained in Mobile too, is that right?
Oh yeah.
And then it kind of cleared up and it was okay.
we were panicking around 9:45, 9:30. Camp doesn't start till 10:30, and what was going on was it just the clouds started to get, it got black everywhere we were, and it started pouring. So that's why, you know, part of the interviews got cut off, and they kind of had to roll with, get some kids after the camp, and you know, really just kind of go with the flow is what we had to do.
Mobile will flood like a son of a bitch, too. I mean, like,
where we were right next to the airport, too. So,
yeah. You get close to downtown, and it rains for a couple hours, it's flooding.
We were just so thankful that it stopped because we were able to get the camp done. Everybody did one-on-ones, and it was good.
All right, Rampage 20 wants to know, as we get into the questions on rebelgrove.com, thanks to everybody who submitted questions. There's about 70 here. We're not going to get to all of them. We will get to as many as we can, and I will try to delete the repetitive ones. Who is the most likely to be the next commit to Ole Miss, he wants to know.
Jaron Handy, the defensive end who visited last weekend, four-star from Perry Central, either New Augusta or North Augusta, Mississippi. Not sure which one. Mingo.
I think it's North. I don't. It doesn't matter.
Mingo, the receiver from Brandon, who I just talked about, had a really, really good performance on Sunday in Mobile. And then Bryce Ramsey, also the offensive lineman who was in attendance in Mobile and had an impressive weekend. He will be in Oxford this weekend. It's going to be mostly out-of-state kids, but there's going to be a couple in-state who have missed as well.
They kind of had a semi-junior day last week.
Yeah.
I don't think this staff wants to do the great, big, blown-out junior day. Is that right?
Yeah, because they don't want to not have enough time to talk to the kids, the kids' parents, and to, you know, give them the family experience at Ole Miss. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, and that's what they almost is priding themselves on.
When they're on your campus, that's your opportunity, and you need to get to know more than the kid, and you got to get to know family, and you got to make some connections, and start planting some seeds.
They were able to get quite a few defensive players on campus. That's basically what the focus was. They were able to get N'Kobe Dean back on campus. They got Zach Edwards, the linebacker from Starkville, on campus. The aforementioned Jaron Handy. Derek Hall from Gulfport finally showed up, brought his whole family, grandparents.
That went well.
Yeah, that definitely went well. He's going to Georgia this weekend, and an offer from them will end his recruitment.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He hasn't given me the full story yet, but he grew up a Georgia fan. Every time you see him on social media, he's wearing a Georgia hat. During the national championship, you had to almost mute him. He was talking so much. He was rooting so hard for Georgia.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay. Pizza McRib, we'll touch this quickly because he's our friend. Where does LeBron end up next season? You were just back in Cleveland. We'll do this in a minute or less. Where does LeBron end up next season? I'll answer. He ends up in Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. You know, the team really seems to be coming together. I still think they're going to add a big in the next couple days, maybe week or so. There's been still some rumblings on that, but yeah, I mean, I don't see any realistic opportunities elsewhere right now.
Yeah, I don't think the Lakers thing is very realistic right now. I think they're looking more towards Kawhi and Klay Thompson at this point.
Yeah, we'll make it real quick, especially with everything going on with Kawhi and the Spurs. I mean, it seems like that story was actually legit.
I think so.
Yeah, because remember when it first came out, everyone was denying, and now Kawhi hasn't seen the court yet, so...
Yeah, it's a weird, and he's a free agent at the end of the year, and so is Clay, so we'll see. End of next year, not this year.
Yeah.
C. Strand says, in your opinion, see, we did that quickly. Everybody's okay. Everybody take, collectively, as a group, we're going to take a deep breath. Okay. C. Strand says, in your opinion, which two defensive end targets are the most likely to commit to Ole Miss, if any at all? And he asks about Handy, Russell, Young, and Moore.
We'll start out by saying if Ole Miss doesn't get any of them, they're in trouble.
Okay.
Diamante Russell, the kid from Provine, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss is really his top schools in that order. I'm not sure if he's been to Knoxville yet. We really didn't get into that too much in Mobile. But it seems that, you know, he grew up a Mississippi State fan. He was wearing Mississippi State gear while we were there. And, you know, he was talking him up, talking up Moorhead, and said that the whole staff talks to him there, which is a little bit interesting. But, you know, some people could kind of find that redundant. But I think he is a priority going forward and somebody that Ole Miss is going to need. I mean, whether or not he ends up as a D end or a linebacker at the next level, I mean, he measured in at 6'3", 211. So he could go either way. You can either put the weight on and be an end, or you can continue to do what you're doing.
How's he
run? A little faster.
How's he run?
He runs well.
I guess the key thing with linebackers.
He lost one rep, and he lost the rep to huge Louisiana offensive linemen that hardly anybody beat all day. Other than that, you got to get handy. Handy from Perry Central, like we talked about a little bit ago. You got to get handy. Handy really, really talked really highly about his visit to Ole Miss, both on the record and off the record. And he kept mentioning some kind of secret, but he wouldn't let the secret out. So we'll kind of see how that plays out in the next several days.
All right. The next question is about KJ Jefferson. Is he a quarterback at the next level, in your opinion, now that you've seen him some?
We're gonna knock out all the KJ Jefferson questions in one.
Awesome.
Because there's gonna be a ton. Jefferson's a spread quarterback. Basically, for those of you who are high school football fans and watch high school football in Mississippi, North Panola runs a variation of the West Point offense. But unlike Marcus Murphy, KJ Jefferson has an arm attached to him that throws the ball. And with that, you know, he's got a ton of arm talent. His deep ball is good, but in the offense that Ole Miss runs currently, whether it Phil Longo be there next year or not, they need to have intermediate passing, and that's a major thing that he needs to continue to improve on if he's going to play quarterback at Ole Miss. Will Ole Miss regret waiting so long to offer? Possibly, especially if he ends up, you know, at Arkansas. Arkansas has completely flipped the script. They switched from, you know, the Big Ten offense, basically, with Bielma to running the spread, and kind of fits him to a T.
Right.
But, well, I mean, we're not going to talk too much, but Arkansas's got a heck of a transition to make between those two offenses.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't sense that Ole Miss is going to go – I'm careful how I say this because I'm not trying to say anything hidden. But I don't sense that Ole Miss is going to go any further down the spread path. If anything, I think you're going to see them dial it back a little bit more towards the pro-style path.
Yeah, especially, you know, the way Patterson's season ended last year and, you know, the possibility of Ta'amu getting injured running the ball. And, I mean, yeah, Corral's capable, but they obviously don't want to see him play.
You don't sign Matt Corral to run the football.
Yeah.
You sign Matt Corral to throw the football.
Exactly, and you sign Ta'amu to throw the football.
It's like if you're an NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
You're not drafting Carson Wentz to run.
No, but
in fact, that's where he got hurt,
yeah,
running.
Exactly. I mean, and that's ended so many careers. We could go into that for days. Is Brian Hoyer with the Browns. The Browns were actually doing well at one point.
I'm drafting my quarterback to throw the football, and I'm telling him, throw the football. I really don't want you running the football. I don't want – if I'm the Patriots, I don't want Tom Brady running the football.
Yeah.
If I'm the Rams, I don't want Jared Goff running the football. I don't care if on a particular play you take a four-yard loss. Just get down.
Yeah, throw the ball away.
Get down. Whatever you have to do, I don't want you running. And to me, and I know this is – sacrilegious, and I'll stop on my soapbox. I hate it at the college game. I hate running the quarterback at the college game. I know coaches do it, and they tell you it's an extra weapon and all that stuff. Yeah, but when he goes down in week three, was that one run worth it?
That's an interesting perspective because I still like the running quarterback.
But you've
got to teach him to get down. And that's what Jefferson did at North Panola last year.
Can't coach the competitiveness out of guys.
Yeah.
And so you just take it out of your – if it's me and I'm running it, that's not part of my offense.
Up until the Yazoo – was it Yazoo City or Yazoo County?
Yazoo City. Oh, I don't know.
Yazoo County with Gainwell last year. Up until that game, I mean, he had really played well. He had been explosive all season, and that was really a shootout. And, you know, he showcased his arm talent, him and Tyler Shorter, the defensive back, wide receiver they've got, class of 2019 as well, who's going to play D1 ball.
I'm basing this off of one practice, okay?
Yeah.
It's the first time I've seen Corral throw.
I was going to ask you about this.
One practice. I'm not a quarterback's coach. I'm not a quarterback analyst. I don't claim to be. But I've watched a lot of quarterbacks in 20 years of covering football. And he has a really good zip on it. Seems to have presence. Again, it was his first practice at the college level. He was probably swimming a little. He was probably nervous a little. I don't know. I didn't ask him. I'm guessing. But what I saw in his arm talent, I would say, I don't want him running the football.
Yeah.
I want him, if I'm Ole Miss, I want him playing 12 games. He's going to be your quarterback. I want to protect him. That 12-yard scramble that he might give you, let me rephrase. I understand scrambles are going to happen, and that's where you have to coach the quarterback. Get down, get out, whatever. I don't care about – unless it's the Egg Bowl at the end of the season and it's 4th and 8 and you're running at the stick and it's make a play or lose – the end of a season, okay, go for it. But 2nd and 14 against Southern Illinois in second week of September, we'll punt, right? The punter's right on scholarship. Let's let him earn it. I mean, that's where I come from on that kind of thing. I don't like it. I understand that if you have a Cam Newton type, that's a different deal. But
oh yeah.
But if what I saw out of Corral, I really don't want him. If I'm Ole Miss, I really don't want him running the ball a lot. And so that style of offense, I guess, to wrap this part of it up. I don't know anything about Jefferson. Haven't seen him play. But if I'm Ole Miss, I'm trying to recruit another quarterback who's somewhat similar to Corral so that in the event that you have an injury, it's as seamless as possible.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of why they made sure that there was the athlete designation to it. Jefferson's going to play quarterback at the next level, whether it be in Oxford, Athens, Fayetteville, or somewhere else. But what it comes down to with him is who's actually going to give him that chance to play quarterback, because he could end up being another one of those kids who, you know, their recruitment might take a hit because they don't want to be offered as an athlete. I'm not sure if he would have posted the offer if it would have been from another school that wasn't Ole Miss, because there was a lot of, you know, public and private unrest and some people getting weary and upset because Ole Miss hadn't offered the kid and they'd offered so many different other quarterbacks. And that really changed when the offer came. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. He was at Georgia day before the camp on Sunday.
Well, I know we got to move on. And this is not directed at the kid at all.
No, not at all.
I'm always interested at all of the public pressure. Hey, you got to offer him. You got to offer him. You got to offer him. And then when the offer comes, nothing changes. Which is cool. Hey, look, the kid, hey, he's got it's his right to take it all the way he wants to. As long as he wants to take it, it's cool with me. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I just mean it's his right. His right to take 5 visits, to take 100 official visits, do whatever you got to do. It's your one chance to make this decision. Make it your way. But I'm always surprised everybody puts all this pressure on staffs and stuff to make an offer, and then the offer comes, and it's like, okay, well, does it make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, not everyone's like Tylan Knight, and as soon as you pull the trigger on the offer, he's silently committed.
Right. His is an interesting. We got to move on from it, but Knight's also interesting because I think Knight is the first real sign of a philosophical change between Freeze and Luke.
You mean from the star standpoint, or
well, from a star standpoint, from a evaluation standpoint, I think they kept evaluating him positively, and I'll give you an example. Jannard Avery, several years ago.
Grenada, right?
Grenada. A lot of people on that staff evaluated him very positively. But from a ranking standpoint, he was probably going to hurt their ranking. And they never offered him. I think with Knight, it was very similar. Now, look, there's a difference. He's short and all that stuff. But I think they kept evaluating him positively. And even though from a ranking standpoint, he wasn't going to help them at all, they took him anyway.
Yeah, right. We could make a whole podcast talking about Freeze's obsession with stars and ratings. Even going back to the class of 2017 and a couple kids he knew weren't going to qualify that he signed anyway just to get that number up. I mean, the number still wasn't that high, but
he got obsessed with it.
Yeah. I mean, when
I'm glad you're saying it, not me. It's not a knock on him. It's just he's not the only coach to get obsessed with rankings, but he got obsessed with rankings. C. Strand, most impressive prospect Ole Miss is in on in the 2019 class.
I have to say, C-Strand must have been like formulating these questions in their mind for the past 3 weeks that they asked.
He was ready to go.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
You said that the most impressive prospect?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with either N'Kobe Dean or Daiwon Black. Daiwon Black's intrigues me the most on the field. Off the field is a whole other case. You know, he's got quite a bit of work to do in that perspective. But on the field, he can either play safety, linebacker, corner, receiver, a little bit of quarterback. Just his overall athleticism has gotten him all the way up to the Rivals 100. When the first 2019 rankings came out, he was outside of the 250. So the way he's been able to emerge and, you know, kind of grow into that, everybody was a little bit upset, especially some of the national guys, you know, like Woody, Rob, and Chad, when he didn't show up on Sunday. He had just lost in the state playoffs. I believe it was to Crystal Springs. And he just didn't make the trip to Mobile. Those would be my two.
Okay, C-Strand with his continuing grilling of Russell Johnson. Five offensive line names that Ole Miss fans should be aware of.
So I'll give you two in-state, two out-of-state, and then a special one just for you.
Okay.
So you got Brandon Cunningham from the coast.
You thought of me.
Offensive tackle. Going to be good. He's currently committed to Miami. Grew up an Ole Miss fan, so that's going to be an interesting dynamic to see. Ole Miss needs to get him on campus for a visit. He was another one of the ones who was supposed to come when the Snowmageddon came and blah, blah, blah. Then you got Quinn Carroll from Minnesota. Seems to be leaning a little bit towards Notre Dame right now, but really has some strong ties around his circle to Ole Miss, and getting him on campus for a visit would be big. I'm not sure if he's going to be one of the ones that take the early officials, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. The other out-of-state is John Olmstead from New Jersey.
Okay.
He's a big four-star who is really kind of blown up recently. He's got all the local Big Ten offers, and having some SEC schools in there is never hurts either. The last one is Ruston's very own four-star Parker. Ray Parker only has one offer right now. He's a four-star offensive lineman, and he's got SEC interest from Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU. He's going to end up in the SEC. It's just a matter of when the offers come and who pulls the trigger first.
So he's my new favorite recruit. See? Look at that. Was the guy that sang Ghostbusters, was his name Ray Parker? Is that why that name rings a bell?
It might be. You're asking the wrong person.
I think that's right. I got to look it up in a minute. All right. In general, of the in-state kids, this is actually a really good question. I didn't mean that like C-Strand, like your other questions were bad. This is just a really good one. Of the in-state kids, which ones do you think do it in December? I mean, you don't have to go one by one, but is there a percentage that you think most of these kids in Mississippi will sign early, or do you think they wait?
I think there's a pocket of kids that are going to sign early. The athlete I was talking to you about a little bit earlier, Jerrion Jones, he's going to take official visits in April. First one's going to be to Oklahoma. He'll probably end up taking one to Ole Miss. It seems like that's going to be the only way he actually gets to Oxford. He was scheduled to be in Ole Miss the past two weekends and didn't end up taking the trip. So that's always an interesting dynamic, especially in Mississippi. And really, you've got N'Kobe Dean, who, you know, is kind of on the fence. Sometimes he'll tell you he wants to make a decision right after his senior year. And a lot of these kids aren't sure if they're going to be able to enroll early or not. I'm not going to go too far in depth with it, but academics are a major key and a hurdle for several of the top in-state kids for 2019, which is probably going to end up hurting their recruitment in the long run, but that's just how it goes here.
Ray Parker Jr. did sing Ghostbusters. You heard Ghostbusters?
Yes, of course I've heard.
Okay, I was making sure because, I mean, we got a generational gap thing here going on, and he did. It was Ray Parker Jr. I was thinking what else, if he ever sang anything else that was it was 1984. How old were you in 1984?
-8.
Wow. You ever heard The Other Woman?
No, I have not.
That's a good song. Let's see. I'm trying to see if he's saying anything else. Appears he was kind of a two-hit wonder. He also wrote and produced a lot of songs for New Edition. You ever listen to New Edition?
Nope.
Really?
I caught some flack on the message board this week for the music I do listen to.
What do you listen to?
A lot of rap and country.
Okay, well, you will recognize this. He wrote some stuff for Run DMC.
Okay.
There you go. You like rap and country?
Yeah, I can listen to them both in the same 10-minute span.
I used to like rap a lot more than I do now, and I used to hate country a lot more than I do now. I don't like a lot of country, but if it's not super twangy, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, as long as there's no banjo going, you know, yeah. I can normally get hip to it.
Where the guy sounds like, I hate that. No, that's just not for me at all. All right, well, anyway, that's the end of our Ghostbusters. Walk down memory lane with Ghostbusters. If you'd like to, let's see how far. I'm trying to see how high up Ghostbusters got on the charts. Ghostbusters was number one. He made it all the way to number one with Ghostbusters. The Other Woman, he made it all the way up to number four on the top Billboard. He got up to 12 with I Still Can't Get Over Loving You, 14 with Jamie, and then that was it. That is the Ray Parker Jr. segment of the program. How did Zach Edwards' visit go last weekend?
It went well. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people on his side that are leaning towards Mississippi State. Being in Starkville, that's going to happen. Starkville's hired several different assistant coaches in an effort to steer them towards a certain school, not named Ole Miss. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that because, you know, Ole Miss was his first offer. Hugh Freeze took him to the side during the camp and was like, you know, what are you doing? Because he was working out at a different position. And Freeze was like, no, you're going to work out a linebacker. And he offered him a linebacker right following that. It was an interesting sight to see. And for Ole Miss to be the first offer for a kid from Starkville is something that doesn't normally happen, I'd assume.
I don't expect any more staff changes before this coming season, do you?
No.
I don't either.
There might be a couple additions to, you know, the off-the-field staff, but nothing earth-shattering. Everybody wants to know about Maurice Harris. No, Maurice Harris is still on staff. And he will be for the next season.
I would think. I've heard nothing to the contrary. All right, we're going to get to a really good question in a second. But first, let me tell you, this podcast is brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years. He has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area. He services the entire state of Mississippi, from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast, all points in between. So contact John at fidelitymort.com or at 601-842-9764. And let me say this on a personal level. This is about Billy's Pecans. This is about Fidelity, John Benelli. This is about the Storage Acquisition Group. Without guys like that and without maybe some future sponsors, podcasts like this don't happen. And this has been a really popular podcast. You guys have loved it. Russell's been great. It is the sponsors that make these podcasts happen. So if you're in the mortgage business, whether it's if you're in the mortgage shopping business and you need any kind of a loan from a conventional to an FHA to a VA, do us a favor. At least give John an opportunity to give you a quote to win your business. It's Fidelity Mortgage LLC, NMLS 1039190. All right. Goodbye, Tadpad has a good question. We could probably debate this for a lot longer than we're going to, but he says, obviously, 0-12 would matter to recruits. 0-12 would send shockwaves down recruit spines. 0-12 is not happening any more than 12-0 is happening.
Right.
He says, in our opinion, if Ole Miss rolls a 4-8 out there, is it going to be used by other schools and outweigh early playing time? He said, what's the record have to be for it to be positive?
Oh, I'm going to let you touch this first.
Okay, I don't think – this is assuming that there's no off-the-field crazy crap. And I don't – frankly, with Matt Luke, I will be shocked if there's any crazy stuff. I think Matt's going to run a real steady, solid program. I don't think losing impacts this much. This is – most recruits are going to view this still as somewhat year one of a rebuild. Whether that's fair or not, accurate or not, I think that's how a lot of kids are going to look at it. There is going to be plenty of playing time available for 2019 guys. Unless it just looks like a trash dumpster fire on the field, I don't know that the record really matters. In other words, I don't think there's going to be an incredible difference between what would happen in recruiting for a 6-6 as opposed to a 5-7, any more than I think they would have some incredible jump in recruiting if they went 9-3 as opposed to 7-5. Feel free to disagree.
Yeah. I mean, see, for me, what I think it is it depends which games is Ole Miss winning, which games are they losing. You come out the opener, look like crap, and get beat by 15+. Recruits are going to notice, especially in the state of Texas, which is somewhere that, you know, they're still trying to get into every year more and more. But other than that, you know, I would say, you know, 5-7 isn't going to do the job. 6-6 isn't going to do the job. You're going to have to win, especially
define the job. What do you mean? We're not going to do the job. What do you mean?
Top 15 class.
Okay. Fair enough.
Top 15 class, you're going to have to win, I would say, between 7-8 games, which is going to be tough with the schedule you've got, you know, especially having a toss-up week one like they do. That's what's going to be fascinating.
So you think the kids really care about wins and losses?
Especially in the state of Mississippi right now.
Okay.
Because there's basically two new head coaches. You had an interim last year with Luke. Luke gets the interim tag taken off. Mississippi State hires a coach that nobody outside of the Big Ten knew about. He's an offensive mastermind, supposedly, which, you know, you really can't deny. Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley and what he was able to do at Penn State was special. But the uncertainty in both schools in terms of that, as well as a couple of kids have started asking around, especially asking me included, about what the heck is this Rebel Rag stuff? Because when that ended up on the, what was it, ESPN, it ended up on the front page, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it's reemerged, and with that reemerging and the uncertainty with that combined with the two new coaches, it's going to take, like I said, 7-8 wins if Ole Miss is going to get a top 15 class. Now, for the current commits, what it's going to take, I mean, no offense to the kids that are currently committed, none of the current commitments, probably outside of Ely, are critical to the 2019 class. You've got some JUCO kids who are going to make an impact. They're going to need to make an impact. And then you've got, you know, Jordan Jernigan, Tay Standifer, and Jamon Gordon, three high school kids from Tupelo and Meridian. And those kids are going to develop into something, but they're not kids that you need that are critical to the class. Like, I don't see Standifer or Gordon reopening their recruitment just because Ole Miss is going 5-7. I see Brandon Turnage, Radar Jones, possibly N'Kobe Dean ending up elsewhere if that were to happen. But it also, like I said, depends on the who are you beating. You know, if you go to an SEC West school and you beat them there, if you beat a ranked team at home, obviously, yeah, that's going to give you a hell of a push up. But what it comes down to, like I said, is the end result.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I'd love to pick kids' brains on it, honestly, if I could later in the season. You probably can.
I
whether
will.
The wins and losses matter.
I mean, look what Georgia did. I mean,
yeah.
Mark Richt, but now they were Mark recruiting, got fired 2 years ago, and they were recruiting at a top 10 level every year.
But in Kirby's first year, they closed badly. I mean,
because people wanted.
I mean, Ole Miss beat the crap out of Georgia and Oxford, just beat the hell out of them, and they still had a huge class.
Yeah, they did, which was fascinating because a lot of boosters in Athens, we won't go too far into that, wanted Smart out after 1 year. They kind of thought they had made a mistake and they should have hired somebody else. Who rhymes with Jom German?
Oh, that's probably a good call. Will a scholarship be offered to a kicker or a punter this cycle?
I mean, possibly. I don't spend my time evaluating kickers and punters. It should happen because it's such an integral part of the game. But with Ole Miss right now, it comes down to whether or not the numbers are going to match up to allow that. I know in the early signing period this past year, with the early enrollees they had, They had a walk-on kicker. I'm not sure what his name was or where he was from, but I know that they added one. And then they have some on scholarship right now too, don't they?
Yeah, Wunderlich. Yeah, I don't have to look at it. I have to study the roster a little bit more than I have. I haven't studied kickers and punters the way I probably should. I've been focused on linebackers, running backs, wide receiver depth, which I think is a huge story that no one else talks about.
Wide receiver depth?
I think the wide receiver position's a really big deal in recruiting. They addressed it this last year. I think they have to address it again because I think AJ's probably gone.
Yeah.
DK certainly could be gone. DeMarcus Lodge will be gone.
Yeah. You got Braylon Sanders.
You got Braylon Sanders and then just kind of a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I mean, they've been trying to add a couple preferred walk-ons and get some kids to show up in the fall, and that's going to be interesting. I mean, and that's kind of where it comes back to the story with Braylon Sanders and his recruitment. You know, back at the time, that was class of 2017, I was still covering Cincinnati and God knows what else, and I had a story written for the Cincinnati website with Braylon Sanders committing and signing to Cincinnati. Obviously, that didn't happen. It was either going to be Cincinnati or Colorado State before Ole Miss came in, and Peeler had reached out. Peeler and Crime, I believe, were the two, and it changed everything. The kid was scrambling the night before signing day trying to find an Ole Miss hat, cake, anything Ole Miss affiliated, so when he committed to Ole Miss, he could enjoy the moment with his family. The interesting thing is both he and CJ Miller, who were the surprise signees in the class of 2017, they're gonna either make an impact from a leadership standpoint, or they're gonna make an impact on the field in the next year, which is gonna be interesting to see, because nobody expected that out of either one of them.
Someone asked me about snakes. I'm not talking about snakes. No snakes.
I did want to ask you, what was Vernon Dasher working out at yesterday?
What that kind of that star position?
Okay.
Just kind of outside linebacker. He can run. He's a little small.
Yeah.
He wasn't playing the traditional linebacker spot, the two inside spots. He was more strong safety, outside linebacker sort of position. Everybody calls it different things, star, bandit. you know, turkey hunter, whatever. I mean, hell, I don't know. He's an outside linebacker / strong safety.
I gotcha, yeah. And Cam White, I don't know. For some reason, he's still listed as a receiver on the roster. I know for a fact.
He was playing DB.
Yeah, he's a defensive back.
He was running with the second team yesterday. Kind of looked okay.
Yeah. Might end up getting something out of the Clinton High School pipeline after all.
Yeah, they could have used that running back from Clinton. He would make a difference.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
You wouldn't have the controversy this year. You probably wouldn't be looking at Isaiah Woolard's mustache either.
Probably not. I want the record to state that was Russell Johnson and not me who said that. Prediction on the number of 4 stars that Ole Miss signs. What position group will be the best? Which one will be the lowest when using rankings? So break out your crystal ball, bud.
Crystal with a K?
Crystal with a K.
Let's see. I'm going to go over under 10.5. 4 stars.
Oh. You think they go over 10.5?
I would go with the under, but I'm putting the under 10.5.
Okay.
I think it's between 8 to 10 for this class. I think that the wide receiver class is, again, going to be the highest rated position. And I'm going to go a little bit unusual with Ole Miss, and I'm going to say that the DB class is the second highest rated. In terms of the lowest when it comes to rankings, I should say linebacker because that's probably what's going to happen. But for now, I'm going to say defensive line just because of the numbers game they're playing down there, as well as the star rating of the JUCO commitments that they already have.
It's too early to know this. You can guess which of the 2019 in-state prospects will get ratings bumps. Do you anticipate?
Ooh, let's see. Gonna have to go back to the three main Mobile ballers. You know, Diamante Russell, Jonathan Mingo, and Jerrion Jones. I think Jerrion Jones really showed a case for his fourth star on Sunday because, you know, like I've mentioned multiple times now. For him, it was about finding a position and sticking with it. A little wild card out there. I'll throw into the water, I guess you could say, since it is raining. Hakeem Vance from Lewisburg. Lewisburg obviously doesn't churn out D1 athletes, and you know he also had been at St. Benedict's and some other schools. He committed to Baylor, worked out as a linebacker / DB on Sunday. Looked so much better than he did when he was just working out as a defensive back and a safety. What it comes down to with Vance is his dad is a major, for lack of a better word, strength and conditioning person, and he's built Hakeem into this, you know, massive athlete. And for the massive athlete to play safety and to, you know, be quick enough when a wide receiver is breaking off of a route is something that he's not fully capable of doing currently. And with that, you know, Georgia calls him Monday, and it's like it was either Monday or Sunday night, and it's like, hey, would you ever play a linebacker? And he's like, you know, I'll play wherever you want me to, coach. And he was like, well, that's great because you have an offer at the University of Georgia.
Oh, wow.
And when he called his dad thought he was lying. So that was just an interesting little tidbit, because before that, he was kind of set on playing either safety or receiver at the next level. But, you know, watching him work out on Sunday, he could be a four-star linebacker.
Nash Reb asked about my fandom. I think he's being sarcastic. I'm a big Cubs fan. Love the Thunder.
Who's the Cubs' fifth starter?
Tyler Chatwood. They announced their rotation today.
That's great to hear.
It's Lester Hendricks. Yeah,
Lester going opening day. I was a little surprised by that, but it's kind of like the ceremonious thing to do.
Yeah, probably. Probably the right thing. Lester Hendricks, Darvish, Quintana, and Chatwood. It's pretty good rotation.
Yeah, I would say.
Jose Quintana being your number four starter is pretty good.
Yeah, you could say that again.
Carson has already informed me that the Cubs are winning the World Series again this year, so just go ahead and put that in your bank.
Well, I know it won't be the Braves, so I'll be all right.
Getting better, but they're doing the right thing. Be patient. There's no point signing a bunch of free agents before you're ready.
Agreed.
I love Acuna. He's going to be a great player.
Oh, yeah.
Obi-Wan Jabroni wants to know if we think Anthony Davis has a shot at the MVP over Harden if he keeps scoring 40-plus a game. I mean, he'll have to do something crazy to win it. He probably deserves more consideration than he's going to get.
It seems like every time I turn around, Anthony Davis is putting up another crazy stat line. I mean, if he's able to will the Pelicans into the playoffs without Boogie, I'd give him MVP.
It's MVP worthy.
Yeah.
I think Harden's going to win the award.
Well, if the Rockets get the number one seed,
Even if the Rockets get the two seed.
You think so?
I do.
To kind of make up for last year? Or?
No, I just think it's been such a dominant season. They've had such a dominant year.
Yeah.
I mean, their record when it's he and Paul and the power forward.
Capella?
Yeah. Why can I never think of Clint Capella's name? When those three are together, they're like 30-something and two.
Wow.
I mean, Harden's been – and Harden carried them when Chris Paul went down for a while. I think Harden wins the award, but Davis, man, is he a special player. I'm not going to get into the stuff about Tebow.
Yeah, Pizza had some fun in this thread.
He did. Good grief. When will I join Chicago Bears fandom? I don't know. I just never had an NFL team. What are some of the challenges that Matt Luke and his staff face on the recruiting trail? Is it selling a defense that's played poorly, racism, NCAA stuff, etc.?
I mean, the racism factor is always going to be there. Ole Miss, Ole Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, the stereotypes, the whole nine yards. It's all there. It's all going to be there. It's all still there. It's cost you recruits in the past. It'll cost you recruits in the future. There's nothing you can do about it. There's a stereotype. It's proven true in some cases. It's proven untrue in other cases. The NCAA stuff really isn't as much of a factor as it was in the past. I will say this on the record that Stockbridge, Georgia, four-star receiver Marquez Ezard would have signed with Ole Miss if there was no bowl ban for this year. Whether or not... that would have been a factor, whether or not he would have made an early impact or whatever. That's what it would have happened. But that really isn't a factor going forward. You know, you have the bowl ban, but that doesn't affect the class of 2019. Right. You have the scholarship limitations. That doesn't affect the class of 2019. You have the possible unofficial visitor ban. Now, that does affect the class of 2019, and that could become a factor.
That's going to get waived.
If it doesn't,
yeah. It's a factor. You have to really be careful. That's why they're trying to make sure they get kids on campus now while it's still in the appellate process.
Yeah, they've had N'Kobe Dean on campus, what, three times in the past 30 days?
Tyler Siski's really good at what he does.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
They're putting things together piece by piece there, and it seems to be going well in the recruiting office.
Before we wrap up, let me tell you, today's podcast is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? It's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no-obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast. Well, then listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. You've kind of touched on this. Top O-line targets that Ole Miss is on from out of state.
Yeah. Ray Parker. From good old Rustin.
I think Ole Miss will have to win to get Parker because Rustin is just really Rustin. If you translate the word Rustin to any other language, it's just winners.
I'll take your word for it.
Winners. I mean, when you set foot in Rustin, it just it's like a W flag, the Cubs W flag.
Yeah.
But it's red. It's like just win. Just win.
See, the thing with Ole Miss lately is every 3 years they'll sign a really talented offensive tackle. And I'm not sure if that offensive tackle is going to come from in-state, and if it even happens at all this class. If it's going to come from in-state with Brandon Cunningham, or if they're going to push hard enough to get Quinn Carroll, the kid from Minnesota. Minnesota is a long way from Ole Miss, but they've been on him for years.
Yeah, and that pipeline has started to really develop now from Tunsil to Little. I mean, Greg looks good, you know, with his feet and stuff. Greg's going to go early in the draft, and
Greg's got some magic feet.
It's established now, you know, that you can come in and play three seasons at that left tackle spot and go be a high first-round pick. Will Carmelo ever get his shooting touch back? Yeah. Thunder's playoff chances? Nah. We'll see. They miss Andre Roberson badly. They're in on Corey Brewer. He would help a little bit just from a fit standpoint, but I don't see them going far. Top in-state kids. You say that top in-state kids are currently leaning elsewhere. Would you care to elaborate?
I mean, yeah, it's early. You've got Turnage committed to Alabama. Black's committed in-state. Ely's committed in-state. You've got Pickering leaning towards LSU. You've got, oh, goodness, I could go on for days. Donis Jackson, who's LSU is leading for currently. You've got Jonathan Mingo, the receiver we've talked about at nauseam from Brandon. Auburn's going after him pretty hard. There's just so many, not uncertainties, but there's just so much talent in the state that it doesn't appear that all of them are either interested or going to be able to end up signing in state. I'm also not really fully sure what Mississippi State's recruiting strategy is going to be. Haven't really gotten a grasp of that yet. They took a corner from Alabama on Saturday night who competed at the Rivals camp on Sunday and looked pretty good. DJ James from Spanish Fort. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how much of an emphasis they place on recruiting Mississippi. Charles Moore is still committed to Mississippi State. He basically released a statement to me the other day about his commitment there and how he's going to stick there unless he sees something that changes his mind. And he visited Ole Miss this past weekend, and it didn't change his mind. So I have to go with he's still fully committed there. But with Turnage committed to Alabama, with Jerrion Jones going to LSU this weekend, with Pickering and Jackson showing up randomly at LSU a couple weekends ago, with Dean leaning possibly towards Alabama, depending on who you ask, what kids you ask, who you talk to. I mean, there are the possibility currently, you know, as I stated, I should have put it in all caps currently, that a lot of them could end up out of state.
I think you've addressed Helinski a lot on the board and in articles. Where does Ole Miss stand there?
Helinski took a hell of a road trip, man. If I was able to either, I don't know if he drove all those places or flew, but he went from Ole Miss and he's on Ole Miss, South Carolina, North Carolina State, Duke. Oh goodness, there were some other ones, and then he flew to California and did a camp that Sunday. He really liked his Ole Miss visit. Really likes Longo. You know, as I've talked about in the past, Longo is really high on Helinski. Helinski did. He is the one that had that tragic thing happen to his brother, who's the starting quarterback at Washington State. That really, you know, every offer he tweets out, you can tell he kind of gets emotional about it, which kind of makes it cool for me, you know, to see the tweet. And, you know, he's like, Ty, I really think you would have liked this one. And then he talks about who offered him. And it's just been something to see. He's going to get some even bigger offers. That's right. Tennessee was one of them, and Tennessee did offer.
He visited Georgia too, right?
Mm-hmm. Did Georgia. Yeah, he was everywhere.
He did get some frequent flyer miles, maybe. All right, as we start to wrap up, anything about George County defensive tackle McKinley Jackson? He's a 2020 prospect. Anything about him, or is it just too early?
Oh, my gosh. He dominated the camp from a defensive lineman standpoint on Sunday. The only person that could beat him was the other five-star challenge invitee. Was it Cardell Thomas from Louisiana, committed to LSU? And Jackson recently had decommitted from LSU. And with that, he has several schools coming after him. Florida State was really high on him, and he was really high on Florida State in the past. And obviously, Jimbo Fisher and Brewster and all of them. We shouldn't get into Brewster's Twitter fiasco. We'll save that for another time. But with that, you know, A&M's after him. LSU's still after him. Came in wearing Alabama gear. Doesn't really seem that, like, Ole Miss, I don't know. He's been recruited for so long, and he's still only a sophomore. He had facial hair. I swear he's got to be 17. But he's not. He's 15 years old, and he's a sophomore in high school. And for him to have the offer list he does and the interest and the coaches after him, it's quite a sight to see. He will be at the five-star challenge as well. He got the invite. Ole Miss has a lot of ground to make up. Putting Peeler on the coast has been a bit of a blessing for Ole Miss. I bet you they wish they could put Peeler everywhere. They were struggling because, you know, he's been able to get results. He was able to get Derek Hall from Gulfport all the way to visit Ole Miss last weekend, and there's going to be some other ones. Like I had mentioned, Ramsey will be on campus this weekend. And, you know, getting Jackson familiarized and back in Oxford is going to be a key. Jackson will be a top priority nationally and locally for Mississippi, for Ole Miss, for everybody. Everybody in the country is going to want him.
Is Chase Rogers still in play?
We'll find out a little bit more about that after Louisiana Lafayette spring game.
Okay. Any running back transfers, other options?
I'd written something on the board about C.J. Fuller, the Clemson grad transfer. Hadn't heard from Ole Miss yet. I'm really not sure if he will. I guess they're going to see how Phillips looks in practice and then kind of go from there. There is expected to be a little bit of a grad transfer running back market after spring practice, so they could possibly get in on that. Or they could just roll with Tylan Knight, Scotty Phillips, Isaiah Woolard, and the ones already on campus.
All right, sound some quick fire stuff as we wrap up. Any update on Dannis Jackson?
I just mentioned him. Okay. It's LSU and Ole Miss right now.
Kane Patterson, the Nashville linebacker.
He'll be in Oxford this weekend. He's blown up. Really hard to keep track of all the offers he's getting. He's got Clemson, Tennessee, Ole Miss, I believe Alabama. But, I mean, Alabama has sent out so many offers so far. You have to wonder how many of their offers are the come to camp offers rather than, hey, you can commit here today.
The majority of them,
yeah,
are come to camp.
Exactly.
The overwhelming majority.
It's just interesting because they, in the previous staff, when they had, don't take offense to this, aging members on the staff, what happened was they wouldn't send out those camp offers, or they wouldn't let them tweet them out. But the new age, the new Nick Saban staff and what they've been able to get there, they're doing it. And it's been interesting to see because they're, I think, well over 300 offers in.
We will have coverage of the weekend with football. Chase will be out in California, but Russell and I will be here. Russell will be covering the recruiting aspect of it. I'll be covering the football aspect of it. We'll have coverage at rebelgrove.com. He'll have, as I would venture to guess, as comprehensive a list of visitors as anyone possibly could dream of over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and then he'll follow up as the weekend progresses. So you'll be able to catch up on what's going on with Ole Miss football recruiting at rebelgrove.com. If you don't subscribe, you should. It would be nice. We would appreciate it. Yep. It's less than a Subway sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I went to Subway earlier this week, spent $13, and I was like, what did I just do?
Could have gotten a month and a half of rebelgrove.com for that Subway sandwich. All right, that's going to do it for us. It's 5 o'clock here as we wrap up, so you'll hear this on Thursday. Happy welcome to March again. Again, our thanks to Billy's Pecans, to the Storage Acquisition Group, to Fidelity Mortgage Agent John Benelli for their sponsorship of this here podcast. For Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. We'll talk to you next week.